everyone tuning in right now. This is Bea back for another segment of Blue Bonnet Mountain Tales, the podcast. We have this episode once a month, the last Tuesday of every month. Even if it is a five-week month, it's still the last Tuesday of the month. I am in the studio, me and Wiz, my two gals that are supposed to chat it up today are running somewhere on the streets. Hopefully they'll walk up, they'll find the sound of my voice and walk up and be ready to chat. But for now, you have me, B, running solo. I'll do a little recap on who the Blue Bonnet Mountain women are. Blue Bonnet Mountains is an agricultural hemp harvesting company, and it's all women ran. The founder's name is Christy Roberts, and she was with us last month talking about her journey to doing this and what brought her to the cannabis industry / hemp industry. I was actually reading an article just now saying that people, in legal terms, progressive cannabis reformers are shifting their advocacy and focus from marijuana to using the term hemp, which both of which are cannabis. So it's just kind of, I guess, when you're selling something to anyone, you have your target audience and you say what they want to hear to make that sale, right? And it's just the versatility of hemp along with how you sell it, how you use it, how you produce it, who you hire to harvest it. And so that's what Blue Bonnet Mountains does. It's a very niche freelance gig that I found. My sister, Mai, started working with them, and that's how I found out about Blue Bonnet Mountains. It's been very strong in the last two, three years. I think company's hitting 3 years this year. We have some girls going out to a farm this week, so hopefully next episode we'll have some tales about how that went. I think later on in the future, once we've established who the Blue Bonnet Mountains women are, we'll dive into what the work we do in a little bit more of a specific way to explain. You know, because when you're working, and I feel like some agriculture work post harvesting is very tedious, and I don't know the industry very well, but in this specific industry, the hemp industry, women are usually at the tables harvesting the plant, because I don't know, we can sit and talk and make the best of it without, you know, getting too antsy about, oh, I gotta take a break, oh, I don't know. Yeah, some exciting stuff is in the works. Last Saturday, we hosted a clothing swap at the farmer's market. If you saw us out there slinging some free clothes for the community, we were also sponsored by Modern Hemp Day Company. Those are some cool cats. They bake their own treats, which is kind of unique. You know, a lot of the stuff you see in a smoke shop or a dispensary here in Texas is usually, you know, flown or shipped or trucked over here. But this stuff, the Modern Hemp Day Company treats and goodies that they sell, are made in, not necessarily in-house at the dispensary location, but they do have like a separate kitchen that they make these delicious treats. I had a chance to try their Christmas CBD cocoa, and I love CBD. It's so mild. It's like, I don't know what would I compare it to. It's like a little cup of coffee almost. CBD is perfect for keeping and getting your body to homeostasis, which is just, you know, getting you through the day, helping all those brain signals adapt to the situation around you or your surroundings. I did see a big police lineup on my walk here, and I think they're having a funeral. So we might hear sirens bopping in and out through through the station. But nothing too crazy is going on. They're just honoring one of their own. And we can, I'll say a quick thank you for whoever that person was. And a goodbye. Yeah, thanks for everyone for tuning in. I'm running this thing solo right now, and I'm going to read an excerpt from the THA flower, Minimizing Your Risk. The federal status of hemp means that distributors can enter hemp and hemp products into the rapidly expanding global cannabis market, something that cannot be done federally, cannot be done with federally illegal marijuana. And I feel like I need to read some more about it to have an opinion on it. But I do like that Texas is very proactive in taking steps on what whoever is in charge thinks is best for the people. And I don't dive into politics too deep. So if you disagree with that, please don't come after my head. This is just a thought on the spot because my guest speakers are not here yet. I'm trying to think. What's in store for the week for Blue Bonnet Mountains? They're going out to a farm. And like I said, hopefully, maybe we can get some snapshots of conversation of what the girls talk about. It's a lot of the women that are part of the Blue Bonnet Mountain Circle are medicine women and for their families or for their communities. So they all have very interesting stories. And I don't know my interviewee, Whitney, very well, but I'm hoping to once she gets here and I can hear where she came from about being into this line of work. Last month, we had Chrissy and Mai, and Chrissy has always kind of been part of the hemp harvesting industry. I think she was saying 15 years. And it's really great to see that she, you know, she started as a freelancer herself and created this company to give other women, I think, the opportunity to change the narrative when it comes to making money and supporting yourself. And if you're a freelancer, you know it's not easy. Like, that's a real hustle. And so it's very admirable to see people working hard and getting multiple things done at once. Oh, Sister Mai is here, so we'll have some commotion in the shop. I'll let her get settled, and then maybe she will be ready to hop in and chat about. What do you have there, some mint?
Some mint.
Oh my gosh, I just realized that the plants, the huge pots outside of the station, are snapdragons, and they are so big. I have one tiny little snapdragon. It's like a foot tall, and these snapdragons are like 8 feet tall because they, you know, they fill in the pot with roots too. So that's amazing. I love the landscape of San Marcos. It's just so abundant and very diverse. And I think something that could kind of be incorporated into the show is how we can bring in diversity again. Maybe 2 weeks ago, I was at a Danza Circle, and someone was talking about, oh my gosh, it's been 4 years since I've seen lightning bugs out. I grew up catching lightning bugs and chasing bugs around at night, and I saw one lightning bug a few weeks ago. I have seen maybe one other lightning bug, and it might have been the same one on a different night. And you know, I know how aesthetically pleasing a boring, green, freshly mowed lawn can feel. Like, I know it feels good to see it, but that's not sustainable. It's really, really hurting the insects out here. And so my family and I let the grass grow out a little bit longer than usual. And we go outside, and there's, like, entire universes in these little dandelions and things that people will call weeds, and a lot of the time we harvest them. Our bunny eats them. He loves dandelions and the land oats and the pecan. I've seen so so many pecan sprouts around my pecan trees. I have 4 pecan trees in my lawn. One of them gave me really tasty pecans last season. And then the other 3 were like very small pecans that I just left on the ground because they were too hard to shell. And now that my garden is blooming and taking off, I'm kind of, you know, going around pulling weeds, seeing what doesn't need to be there. And I have found countless pecan seeds sprouting up. It's kind of awesome. And I wish I could let them all grow. But these things, I pull the root out, and at the end of it, there's a little pecan nut with roots coming out of it. It's just amazing how life works. And I appreciate my son for helping me see life through that, you know, little detail perspective. He's very attentive to his ladybugs and the dandelions and our chickens. And it's just great to be around, to be outside and to work with the land that we live on. And that's, oh, Wendy's here too. Woo, woo, woo. We got a full house now. Can you get that, please? So we got our sisters here that are also joining me on the podcast. Hey, Whitney, welcome.
Hello.
Oh, let me turn the mic on. Yeah, I'll turn y'all's mics on. Why not? That's just what we need. Let me check the sound because it is a little low. I don't have the dual screen today, so I gotta peek back and look at Audacity, making sure.
Hey yo,
everyone. Hi. Sorry, I was just letting you get settled, Mai. And hi, Whitney, welcome. Thank you for joining us. My name's Vanessa. I don't know if I feel like we met at that one Blue Bonnet gathering.
Yes.
At the gazebo.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Yes.
It's been a minute, but I'm so happy you could join us. Where are you coming from?
Kyle.
Kyle?
Uh-huh. Oh, I know.
You too.
Me as well.
Yeah, I know that. I like this area, though.
Yeah, something always keeps people coming back to this area. You know, like, you go out of town, 5 days out of town, you're like, I'm ready to go swimming. I'm ready to go back home.
Yeah, this is where I was born, so.
Oh, uh-huh. Awesome.
San Marcos native.
Yep.
What about your family?
They live in Wimberley, but we're in San Marcos too. Like, our address is San Marcos, but everything's in Wimberley.
I see him.
So, such a great.
Well, listen, y'all, I'm going to cut early and use a little bit of promos so we can kind of get our thoughts together, recollect a little bit, and we'll be back, audience. Thank you for keeping up, and we'll chat more in a bit.
Ciao for now.
To join us on the random journey of life, playing anything vinyl, one never knows what they're going to hear. You know where I'll be Monday night? I will be howling at the moon, listening to those cracks, hisses, and pops, along with those Kellogg's boys. Vinyl Confessions, only here on KZSM, San Marcos True Community Radio, the little station heard around the world.
Hey, reggae lovers, it's your weekly reggae escape. I'm Lady K, your navigator of good vibes and your gateway to the reggae universe. And Big Up Reggae on KZSM 104.1 is your Sunday vibe. Join me every Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. for a reggae experience like no other. From timeless classics to today's freshest reggae vibes, we've got it all.
Every day, Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. here on KZSM.org, Roots and Branches takes you down the highways, byways, side streets and back alleys of music. Join me, Tony Wilson, your hosting guide on this weekly journey through the wonderful world of music from Texas and beyond. All you have to do is log on and listen. It's just that easy.
Feeling to subside, I keep on waiting, Lord, but it can't happen. keeper of my heart, who knows how to love. I could deny, but why should I lie? A love like this comes once in a lifetime. I'm Western to the day. There's a big smile on my face. There's a peace inside only heaven knows. I see it in his eyes, the love he shows. I'm Western bound. I finally found the keeper of keep on waiting, Lord, but it can't hide. I love him more with each passing day. This feeling inside will never go away. I'm Western bound.
Everyone, we are back. We had a moment to gather some thoughts. That was Western Bound. And I lost her name. I'll have to come back and give her name. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. This has a history of when. Sorry for the mix-up, guys. Oh, here it is. So that you were listening to Western Bound by Long Prairie. And I have Mai joining us in the studio and Howdy. Whitney.
Hello.
And we were just chatting about how does one define the word medicine? You know, because Whitney hopped right on and she said medicine to me is a little bit more mental. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yes. It's it can be, you know, mental or physical, but I like to use CBD as it helps me. I'm diagnosed ADD, and every time I take CBD products, it helps ground me and brings me back down to the world where I'm not bouncing off the walls. And
I hear that. And so when I think of medicines, initially my brain goes to like something I can take, something I can put on, but I feel like the human body in itself has a lot of healing powers. If you just get in maybe a meditative state, or you just, you know, give it a kiss or something like that, it can be as something as, yeah, it's a little TLC, tender love and care. What about you, Mai?
Yeah, I would love to expand on that. Like medicine, this idea that we have of medicine, when we speak with others, is like something to alleviate something we take. But what you said, perfect, sister, like we all have this healing within ourselves, and the plants have it, different animals have it, these different kingdoms, they all have their different forms of medicine, even in the material world. Everything has its medicine almost.
I just thought about this, but like, what does an animal perceive medicine as?
Right.
You know, like these, or like are, how, these are sentient beings.
How can animals be medicine to us humans?
Oh, and so, same. Yeah.
So to me, medicine is just different things that can heal us.
I am on that bandwagon. I agree.
Hop
See,
on,
so
sister.
it's a spectrum.
It's such a spectrum.
I don't know. And also, you know, everyone perceives reality in their own way. So it is just unique to who you are. Not necessarily, oh, this medicine fixes everyone, which is what I feel is a lot of the disagreement I have with Western medicine. It's like one pill does not fix all. Everyone needs their own custom health plan and what their bodies need to properly function.
Right.
And that means it doesn't have to necessarily be through the medical companies, big pharma or anything. It's all here around us, stuff that we can find naturally and embrace
like,
that.
Like the mint might just yes. pick to soothe her stomach. Like yeah. that's around the corner in the garden bed by the city. Like it kind of just circles back to, I love the landscaping here because it is more than just visually pleasing to the eye. It is, you know, bugs can munch on it. Birds can have some fruits. We can have some mint leaves. I also love the blackberry tree by the river.
Yeah.
I thought I was like, oh, I've discovered something. And
the
then
dewberries are coming out.
I went back.
The aloes are getting big and perfect.
The mulberries and the loquats are fruiting. Ugh.
Oh, the loquats.
to speak on what you were talking about when I came in was like how you're keeping your lawn a little bit more luscious these days and how the lightning bugs are coming out and the insect world is just thriving off of this
overcast and
this
rain.
Overcast, but mm-hmm. this world that is so small to us but huge to them is they say, you know, aside from the landscape of mint being in and things that humans design and incorporate into our landscape, there's so many medicines that grow in our like immediate surroundings, and they say like your medicine grows in your yard, and so leaving your yard to just be for a season and just kind of see what comes up. A lot of people, you know, with that message, I've kind of observed my friends' yards, and every yard, even if it's close proximity, everybody has their different medicine growing, and it's a little bit more abundant than others. So, you know, just I think that was an interesting point. Like, just observe what your surroundings have for you.
And that doesn't necessarily happen right away. It's over time. It's something you observe through the years. You know, I've lived on this property for going on 2 years, and you know, first few months I was out there, I was like, I can't even grow a cucumber out here. Like, just, you know, different landscaping than what I was used to. And it's good to adapt, and I love that nature just has that in its DNA. It's adapting to the surroundings as well, which is something that hemp and cannabis have also in the line of, you know, mm-hmm. they've been doing that for ancient times. And that's, I'll have to research some more on like the ancient use of cannabis and stuff like that, and how it came to be labeled as a medicine in these back in the day. I feel like that would make an interesting topic, and yeah. I would love to learn more about that. I'm not very educated on the history of cannabis. My main training is in CBD and how it helps the body adapt. And of course, you know, recreational purposes.
Yes. So I do know a little bit about the cultivation of cannabis. I'd love to share. So cannabis, before it was viewed so much as medicine, it was viewed more so for the anatomy of the plant and its strength as a material. And so the Chinese were the ones that I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, somebody call in something, but the Chinese cultivated these seeds over generations for its textile strength and just being able to work with the resilience of the plant.
It is so fibrous. I dream to make my own textile. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then over time it became medicine, I mean, building material, mm-hmm. other than textile material, and just other things. But I think that's the original cultivation, like relationship with that humans had with cannabis.
Wow, bringing it back to a bare essential, you know, like clothing.
Yeah.
Whitney, what brought you to alternative ways of work and medicine?
So I work like a regular job. I worked, 9 to 5, and it was seriously driving me crazy. It was such a hard mental state to be in 24/7 when you're in that kind of like environment. I worked with a bunch of kids, which I love kids, but it was a lot. And so I was like, I need something that's really going to help me with my mental state and continue to want to work.
Yeah, it's rough out there. I don't know. There's so many things I want to devote my life to. I can't imagine like being like, this is what I'm doing all the time.
Yeah, that's a big commitment. So it's really nice when I found, you know, the CBD community. Everyone was so relaxed. I literally met 1,000 amazing people through them. Like, everyone just has their own personality and brought them there that... you know, their own backstory that brought them to this community. And it's just, everyone's on so many different levels. It's amazing. And so I really enjoyed that aspect of feeling more like I belong too in a community. And I really like that, you know, it's like seasonal. So you can work for this amount of time and then you leave and you go do other things that you want, and it mixes it up a little bit. And it's a nice pattern.
Yeah, something to look forward to that you don't necessarily have to fully commit yourself to, and then, you know, still be there for your family and your community.
And everyone in that community really likes to travel, so you get so many great stories and experiences through that, and you make connections that you never thought were even possible.
Right.
Storytelling has got to be one of my favorite things. Like, it's kind of a lost art, but my mom, she could tell stories all day long. And I feel like, I mean, men do it too. Like, Mikey's dad tells really good stories all the time too.
Yeah, that my husband is my partner as well. It's like a male, not a male thing, but I think through their lineage, like, storytelling is so strong.
And that's how things live on, you know? Some of these stories just get passed down family through family, generation after generation. And it's... you know, I have a kid, and I just think about, like, what life will look like, you know, 20 years from now.
Oh,
like,
sure.
What's he going to know? What's he going to be into? What am I going to pass down as knowledge, you know? So far, he's, you know, I've taught him everything I know that he can grasp. And it's, like, so amazing to just see it before your eyes. Like, oh, these things... my grandmother and my mother taught me are getting passed on to my son, and then maybe his kids too. And it's, I don't know.
Well, and even the new stuff, you know, like, my family wasn't very big into farming, or, you know, they did a lot of ranching, but this is a whole different path for me. So me and my daughter have really been able to, like, embrace the knowledge and learning out, you know, trying to learn how to do all of this stuff together. And we're both learning, and she's amazing too. She's an amazing helper in our garden. Like, she loves all the bugs and, oh my God, everything, the sunshine. So it's like new things too, you know?
Being outside, I feel like doing less is more when you're outside, because you just kind of take in all the little universes that present themselves to you. And that's, so I've never had the opportunity. Oh, well, I have the opportunity, but I just can't really commit myself to a full day of work with Blue Bonnet Mountains yet. But I want to hear how working with the plant, what the experience is like, because I know Chrissy says, oh, leafing is my favorite part of working with the plant. And, you know, she has favorite experiences and what kind of work she likes doing more, maybe more than others. Sure. So I'd like to hear y'all's favorite part of the process.
Sure. I'd like to start and just say that we're going out to a farm tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we are big leafing tomorrow. So every part of this work, and this goes into freelancing as well, is seasonal. And so when you're working with the seasons, you're humbled in the fact that other things have their own process. Everything has its own process, their peak time, their slow time. Nothing in nature can be constant all the time. And if it is, it has its dips and it has its waves. So with cannabis, you know, right now we're in this growing season. Every part of the plant is like fighting to just produce a flower, a fruit, a flower.
This specific plant.
It's a beautiful flower.
Hemp cannabis, yes. So big leafing, what we'll be doing tomorrow is just basically taking, helping that plant reach the sunlight, the lights, easier. So as humans, we can go in, take those big leaves closer towards the lower part of the stalk and just help that energy just shoot upward. So that in every way, you know, it sounds simple, but it's such a big thing that humans can be a part of to just help that plant medicine. I personally like processing the plant and harvesting. So let's go harvesting first. Harvesting is like us in the fields, and you really get to see how that plant adapted to its growing environment and how the insects and the other flowers, companion plants, will grow around cannabis. And like mullein, bee balm, all these beautiful other plant medicines grow at different times, but also in different placements in the field. So that's always beautiful to see. Pulling it out of the soil and seeing the roots is beautiful. Some farmers like to leave those roots in, so just cutting it right at the stalk, at the base. But then taking that plant inside, you know, you can grow it all season long, but if you don't process it correctly, it can just quickly mold and, not be usable. And so processing it with integrity, or harvesting it with integrity, processing it with care, those are all things that, you know, we can be a part of, and it's a beautiful relationship. Whitney?
My favorite part, like Mai said, the harvesting is so beautiful. It's such a beautiful process, and you're outside with everyone else, and the plants, and the sun, and the clouds, but I really love trimming. Trimming, I think you get to, you know, sit inside, and at that time it's really hot outside here in Texas, so yes. You get to hang out in the air conditioning, which is great.
And gather and chat.
And that is when you get to hear all the stories about where everyone's been, what they've been through, what they're going through, and you can relate or not relate. It's just such a cool experience. And if you don't want to do that, you can just put your headphones on, tune out, and just make those little trees so pretty.
Mm-hmm. And so in the process of trimming, is there a certain order that you follow? Do you just pinch off the leaves, or do you do stems, or?
Well, everyone kind of finds their own little rhythm, because the end process is going to always be the same. But me personally, I like to start from the bottom, work my way up. Mm-hmm. And it's just such an easy, but also great task to do while talking and hanging out.
Monotonous, kind of. Right? Mm-hmm. You kind of just get into your groove. You don't have to think about it after a while.
It's amazing.
Some things you can't multitask, so I'm glad. And women are just, you know, super women, and we can do it all, apparently. Or at least make you think that we do.
No, we can. No question about it.
I will say the plant... specifically cannabis, it grows in a spiral, and so when you're processing it, like twisting it as you go, allows you to just kind of work with it instead of against it.
Yeah,
and so then the bud is the same way, because the stem and how the buds grow off the stem, you twist as you go, as you're bucking, right, and breaking down those branches from the stem. But as you're trimming the buds, you twist and turn too, and you see how it grows in this spiral. It's beautiful.
That's the OG shape.
Yeah.
That unique. Sparkly and pretty.
Yeah.
Sometimes purple.
Some plants share that spiral rhythm, but, you know, the more you harvest, the more you process, you see different plants have their different structure, anatomy, how they like to be processed. And, unique to cannabis or, like, you know, in that rhythm, that processing in that way is, like, most ideal.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was great. Thank you for sharing. We're going to take another small break and hit some promos. Let's see what we got going on today.
Who do we have?
On Saturday, May 4th.
Is this Friday or Saturday?
Saturday. Saturday, yes. We have the American Lung Association doing a Texas two-step at the Bobcat Stadium. Do good, feel great by joining us at San Marcos' premier Texas two-step. This is for the Lung Fours. Carol,
Bring
from
your boots.
Friday Night with Care, hosted a great fundraiser this past Sunday, Sounds of Spring, out at Rail House, and it was a good show. We had a raffle. I was out there slinging raffle tickets, and golly, I wrote so many phone numbers, and I can't remember a single one. That was great, and do we know who won the raffle? Were you there?
I don't think you were there. $777 for the whole.
Wow. All right. Did y'all raffle?
So the raffle, sorry, I'm bumping on the mic, so we gotta, yeah. The raffle was a custom guitar that was donated to KZSM. It was beautiful. Wow. It had these roses carved into it. And then there was a Nintendo Switch and a Someone Matthews poster.
Dave Matthews.
Oh, you know who that is?
Yes, okay. I know who that is.
I'm sorry, David. I don't know who David is. So I'm happy. Some people didn't know, obviously.
He's an amazing artist.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. If it's like raffle.
Real like
raffle
dad
poster.
Rock, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Dad grandpa rock. I don't know.
We'll talk about this later.
Let's she'll educate me later.
Okay, we'll circle back. Cheers.
Join me at Heartbeats and Echoes at 10 o'clock on Wednesday while we explore the world looking for the echoes of the heartbeat of Mother Earth.
Community radio mean? The dictionary defines community as the condition of sharing or having certain attitudes and interests in common, or a group of people living in the same space or having a particular characteristic in common. Broken down further, there are several different types of community. Interest, people who share the same interest or passion. Action, a group of people trying to bring about change. Place, people brought together by a geographic boundary. And place, people in the same profession or undertake the same activities. And then, of course, circumstance. Here at KZSM, we are all about community. However, not just one spot on the map, streaming worldwide. We are more of a bridge to several communities. We are passionate volunteers, each of us on a shared mission to bring you, our listeners, the best we have to offer of our discussions, events, actions, passion. We love our community and are so excited to welcome you into our family. Our programming is very diverse and encompasses all that make us a community, whether you want to talk radio or local talent, mainstream music, about Celtic echoes and indigenous entertainment and news, discussions with local politicians or really good interviews, book reviews, movie news. We not only have it all, we have your back. Tune into our 24/7 stream right here on KZSM.org. And while you're vibing online, check out our website, the podcasts, upcoming events, news. You'll find us on Twitter too. Being a community radio, we exist solely by private contributions and donations. So while you're on the website checking us out, please go ahead and press the Donate Now button. We could really use your coffee change maybe for next week. You'll find me on Friday nights 8 to midnight, Central Standard Time on Friday Night with Care. We miss you when you're not here.
Join me at Heartbeats and Echoes at 10 o'clock on Wednesday while we explore the world looking for the echoes of the heartbeat of Mother Earth.
Her voice can call up a ghost and soothe him to rest again, and she'll ease you out of the stress of your work week and right on into your weekend. She's got live and recorded music you want to hear and interviews with people you want to meet. Tune in Fridays, 8 to 10 p.m. for Friday Night with Care, right here on KZSM.org, San Marcos's true community radio station.
Hey, everyone. So we are back. We have about 20 minutes, maybe 18. Gonna get those promos in. We were just circling back to... How does one go into this industry? How do you apply for it through Indeed? Do you know someone? Do you have to give them your social security number and stuff? I feel like something also, another positive of freelancing, it's a lot more lax. You work when you want to work or when you got to make a buck, which also kind of ties in with the seasons, you know, usually wintertime, you don't want to be outside. You just want to be sitting at a table trimming and having a good winter time, but while also making some money. So I came upon Bluebonnet Mountains, like I said, with Mai. She's the one that told me about it. And it's, I don't want to say it's inclusive or exclusive, because it's a very welcoming community.
It is. It's very open. When you know the right people to be able to get in, it's just that connection that helps you find who you're looking for and what you're looking for. It's almost like you have to manifest it. And like,
it's a big vibe check, yes, too. It's like the people in this industry, I think we stray from that corporate life, and it's not protect it, but we protect the culture.
Well,
in a
we
sense.
Want good energy. We
yeah.
want good vibes.
We and value it.
It's very important that everyone, you know, has the ability to be able to get along and work with each other, because we're working very close.
Mm-hmm. As a team, and I think work ethic comes into play when you're working together and trying to achieve a goal of harvesting X amount of plants or trimming X amount of pounds.
Definitely.
So if someone's kind of lagging back, somebody else in the team has to kind of pick up the
100%.
Slack.
And I'd say, up until now, you know, Bluebonnet Mountains hasn't had to fire any sisters. It has just come naturally that people will weed themselves out.
It just wasn't for them.
Yeah. And so, you know, taking how we conduct, like, our interview process, it's basically just sitting and talking, getting a vibe check with one another, like, hey, this is what the work looks like.
What I expect.
Yeah. Here's, like, kind of the expectations. Mm-hmm. But then also, like, come out, try it out, see if it's for you.
Yeah,
they quickly will tell us if it's not. Yeah.
I've noticed from working with people, especially people who are new to it, when you're around that much CBD, your allergies act up.
Right.
Very, very bad. And so, like me, I'm allergic to everything. But, you know, I found ways, like, I don't touch my face and my body when I'm working with it, because all of that can be very, very itchy. And that can be really off-putting to some people. And you just don't realize how much you're being immersed in the plants.
Right. Constant sneezing.
Yes.
Like, rashes on the arm from harvesting. So that is, like, a super good point to bring up. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's mental. People, you know, if you're not used to freelancing and you're working in the corporate world, 401ks, benefits, an HR department, those are all things that are set up, right?
Right.
In the cannabis world, it's a little bit more free. So, you know, we don't have someone to report to when you have these problems with your team. And that comes with that mental strength
Yeah, you definitely need to be able to work with that on your own, because there are, you know, there's guidelines, but there's not really rules. And because everyone's still trying to figure out those rules, because it still hasn't been that long. I mean, Colorado's, you know, been legal. California's been legal, but Texas is still trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Now, luckily, we do have a lot of people for coming from over there to over here to help us figure that out. But Texas has always been its own...
Texas has its own it's
all still, like, we're all still learning together, too.
Yeah, I'd say Texas, a huge, something that just comes out is the family element. It's like, Texans have this great work ethic, but we're working for and with our families most of the time.
Yes.
And so, the how that's come out in cannabis work has been beautiful to witness, beautiful to be a part of.
Yeah, because I know you've said a lot of the people you've worked with have families, which is, it's great to hear. You know, you got to find a way to support it in your own way.
Well, and coming back to how we found the job is, I knew one of my friends that was working with Chrissy, Darlene, and she helped and she helped me get into that group, which is so amazing. And you know, she's such an amazing person, Darlene. Like, I knew whoever she was bringing in was going to be amazing as well.
Yeah. And so, wanted to touch on this too, because you and Darlene both, we have a couple other sisters that have gone out to the West Coast to trim. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
I haven't, but I have many, many friends that have. Okay. I've done all of my work here in Texas.
Yes. Yeah, so there are people in other states helping us kind of figure that out, what that looks like. We're still making
it better.
Making it more Texas.
I think, making it more Texas. Yeah,
because go bigger, go home. Exactly.
Yeah. Texas-sized. Yeah. Texified.
Which is great, because there's so much land for more, you know, farms to go up on.
Yeah. More farms, less apartment buildings. More farms, less apartment buildings. Golly, the apartment buildings have found their ways to the back roads, and I just want to throw up when I see them being built.
I know, but Mai has been working with a company that's turning hemp into structures, right?
So not necessarily a company, but yeah, definitely mentoring under great teachers. Stephen Clark, shout out. But yeah, turning hemp, straying away from smokable flower, and seeing that plant for all of its glory.
Using everything, yeah.
And so, yeah, that stock that so many farmers have forgot about for so long, the stock, it doesn't compost very quickly, and so for so many years, farmers have just burnt it and just done away with it like that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, now taking that trash and turning it into building material has been beautiful.
Which is really cool to see, because I started in this industry and we just had flower, you know, and this was like, 8 years ago when it became legal. I don't know how long ago that was, but when it became legal, it was, everyone just had flower, and then, you know, gummies came into play, and then sweets came into play, and now
then concentrates came into play.
And now structures, like, that's insane.
Yeah. We've been able to build not so tiny house, but out of about 4,000 pounds of hemp herd, going back to that same build and putting in like even more fine hemp fiber and using that as insulation, replacing, you know, that asbestos insulation with hemp.
The fiberglass.
Yeah, so utilizing every part of that plant, even being able to soak the stock and turn it into like a beautiful green dye and paint.
Yes.
Nothing goes to waste. And I think that's something we kind of work together on, is reducing waste.
Right.
It's kind of how the clothing swap came into our lives. It's like, oh, I don't want to buy new clothes. I'll just trade what I have.
Yes.
For free.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
That's right. I found so many treasures throughout you know, kind of scavenging or searching. This is really great. I'm glad you two ladies made it into the studio and we got to chat Whitney up a little bit. Do you have any going away words, anything else you would like to share with us? I know, I'm putting you on the spot. So let's just keep talking. Are you going out to the farm on Wednesday?
I am not able to go this Wednesday, mm-hmm. but definitely as soon as that work starts back up, I'm going to be jumping on that because it's so much fun.
Yeah, and I love the versatility of it because you kind of just hop on when you can. There's no one saying, like, you need to show up or else, or you need to do
this
or else.
Well, if something happens and, you know, you can't show up, you know, there's other girls that are willing to step into that place last minute, too. That is just a great part about it.
And mm-hmm. that's why we have such a big roster. Usually, how many girls is it at a farm? It's usually maybe 6 girls at most.
Depends on the work, yeah, but I'd say, yeah, like, or I'd say like 4 to 10.
4 to 10.
Four to 10. Tomorrow will be 4 of us.
Yeah, it just depends on the job. How many hands-on do you need?
Yeah, because you've got pounds and pounds to trim. Like, you need...
Trim days are more extensive, yeah. Right? Working in the greenhouse, we can kind of topple over each other. Mm-hmm. So 4 greenhouse work typically, and then anything in that range, it's good flow.
Well, Chrissy is, I didn't hear back from her about anything she wanted to highlight, but, you know, we keep her in mind since she is the creator of this company.
Yes, she's such a strong, powerful woman.
And she's just beautiful. An inspiration to us all, I think, to just... She's a hustler. She's a born and bred hustler, for sure. And it kind of attracts other strong, willing-to-work women, which is good. I think it's kind of hard to meet people with a good work ethic nowadays, you know?
Well, not necessarily even good, just one that can either keep up with you or, you know, like
someone who will get things done.
I'd say like physical work ethics are harder to come by. Yeah, because that remote work is appealing, and that is freelance as well. Mm-hmm. But that physical freelance work, it's hard to find girls that will, stay rooted and not weed themselves out. After long farm days that can sometimes be, you know, out in the sun in the middle of the summer.
I love it.
There's people that love it or there's people that don't.
My first job was like cutting someone's lawn and doing a feeding routine for the horse and the donkey. And I was like, I love this. Yes. I feel like such a boss. Just like I'm out here driving a mule and, you know, cranking out the lawnmower and doing the weed whacking. And I was like, I'm strong and mm-hmm. I can do this. I can work the land. And I love that there's so many different things to dive into when you're in any kind of farming. You know, you can do the seeding, you can do the harvesting, you can do the getting it to where it needs to go. But yeah, this has been a great episode. I'd like to think so. We have a few more minutes left, but honestly, I'm just going to break off into a goodbye. Mai?
I will say we, on this note of... strong, wonderful women and this line of work. We are coming into a new relationship with a new farmer. She's a female, we're just putting feelers out there, putting lots of prayer out there that we can add her to our family, our web.
We love women bosses.
Yes, women bosses. So
nothing against man bosses.
Nothing at all. They're great brothers. Yeah, they're great brothers. But just, again, with last episode, it was like every grower has their own growing mechanism. And so, yeah, just that prayer to work with more women in this industry. And so any women in the industry hearing, just reach out and... Let's find ways to collaborate.
Yeah.
Whitney? Beautiful. I just hope everyone has a beautiful day.
Cheers to that.
Cheers. Happy Tuesday. Eat some tacos.
Eat some tacos.
Some tacos. And don't forget about the tire collection event. On May 4th at 2171 Yarrington Road, you need proof of residency. And we'll take these tires off your hands. Bye, everyone.